talking to Eric.
Right.
So are Sister Grandson.
My direction is not asking Grandson. Brother of Lester Gore is unanimously elected as the Grand President of the Pioneer of Alaska.
Corey and Scott, would you please? For installing officers, I have appointed Brother Winstrom of Anchorage Igloo number 15 to be Sergeant at Arms. And as Brother Robert DeArmond, our past president, is on the stand here, I will introduce him myself instead of the Grand Sergeant at Arms. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce past Grand President Bob DeArmond as installing officer.
Will the please be in order? Grand, acting Grand Sergeant at Arms, will you please present our Grand President elect to the platform?
Performance, I pledge my sacred honor.
To the faithful performance, I pledge my sacred honor.
the women's luncheon at the American Legion Club at 1 o'clock, and I have been officially advised by members of my family that I was going to be 12 o'clock.
Oh, wait a minute.
You said that's 12. 12 o'clock is American. Well, I didn't quit it. I'm really talking about it. So, again, your program to change it. Try it. But see, I'm supposed to let the ladies off early enough to get fixed up before the luncheon takes up. So I'll do that. I'll watch the clock. Now, to fulfill the chairs for the session, Carl Lawson, as you well know, the second vice president, I'm asking Carl to move up as the first vice president. That authority was granted under the Constitution. I'm asking Jim Jorgensen, would you assume the station of second vice president? Grand second vice president. And Ed Sweeney, from delegate from Juneau, would you assume the station of chaplain? Grand sergeant at arms, would you conduct the in your station. Now, the first committee I wish to appoint is the Credentials Committee. Now, it is necessary that the Credentials Committee meet as soon as the possible can, so that credentials can be worked over and the delegates actually suited for a roll call of delegates. Now I'm appointing on that committee Bill Stoltz of Anchorage as the chairman. Bill, are you here? Oh, now your members will be Ruth Blake of Juneau, Pearl of Fever of Cordova, Selma Smith of Anchorage, and Art Herod of Fairbanks. Now, you people have got work to do. At this time, as long as I'm on my feet, you still have a few minutes to go before I have to let you ladies get back to your quarters and get ready for the luncheon. I'm going to announce the other committees that the officers and myself worked over. Not that this is rigged, you know, because I wouldn't do anything like that at all. I'm going to think about rigging much. But anyway, I want to get to work. We have things to do. So I'm going to name those committees now. On the nominating committee,
the chair. He will be assisted by Bill Cashin of Fairbanks, Hans Berg of Juneau, George Johannes of Fairbanks, Marie Ferry of Ketchikan, Seward Shea of Seward, and Grant Durant of Cordova. Now that's the nominating committee. On the resolutions committee, they have a lot of work to do too. We'll flood them as we get going. And I'm going to appoint Thor Oswald of Seward as the chairman, and Audrey Lawford of Fairbanks, Frank Shellhorn of Anchorage, Richard Davis of Cordova, Doris Sweeney of Juneau, and Bill Arnold of Ketchikan. Now, Secretary Thiel has those lists all ready to hand over to the various chairmen and to the members of the committee. And when we recess, will you please see Thiel and pick up the list so you'll know just who is on your committees and you can make arrangements for your meetings. Yes.
We forgot the auditing committee.
Pardon? The auditing
committee. We forgot the auditing committee.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that, too. They got it. I want that easy because I don't want to break them down early. You see, they have to look over the books and see if everything is right. Don't want to come up with things that are wrong. So I attempted to. So we have attempted to place a committee before you, which we believe will can very easily handle all that work from past experience, reputation for truth, integrity, and honesty. So I'm making Bill Leavers of Juneau, the chairman, Sid Wall of Fairbanks, and Marie Gunderson of Ketchikan. There's only three members to that committee. Now, is there any other business you want to bring up in this morning's session? See, now that I can actually use the gavel, all I think is that
business section started at 2 o'clock. Pioneers of Alaska.
I'm
Well, the delegates from the office of precinct their suits and their stations.
Into it.
All right, I'm talking into it. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
You got it?
Okay.
Okay. Take up the, I got to have this so that, Linda can use it too. You don't need it. Well, Phil needs it then. I need it. Phil needs it, so we'll put it to you. In opening this session after our recess, my first thought is to express my sincere thanks to the pioneers for this office to which they have elected me. You know, I really do not feel worthy because I have placed upon me certain duties to perform this past year, which I was asked to perform by Grand President Arthur Newport, but the conditions were such that I was not able to do it. And I felt that I just fallen down the job just a little bit. So I'll try to make up for it. But I'll try to keep this particular session moving so that you'll have more time for fun instead of listening to me. Because when I get started talking, I should have brought my clock along so I know when to quit. But that's a failure, you know, that we have. They'll think that maybe there's one juryman that would need just a little more talk and argument before they'll come over on our side. So that's why we keep going. It's not a particular failure. We don't claim it's a failure. It is not a waste of time. But I say again that it's very difficult to find words to express my deep appreciation for this office. And I will do, as I took the oath to do, perform to the very best of my ability. So I don't know that will run smoothly at all times, but I'll try to be fair, honest, conscientious, and patient. Down in my own igloo, what the presiding officer needs, you see, is patience. We all get harder around things. So that I have no reason to doubt that what the other patients go a long way up here too, and I have to. I also have a slight sense of humor, so if I inject a few words that are out of place, well, you know, it's just natural courage as far as I'm concerned. It may not go over as good as I hope, but then nevertheless, it may go over partly. And I want to again express my thanks to this gal. It's made by a lady from Prince of Wales.
And then all Prince of Wales is way out there at the end of Alaska. I've been there, and on a good day it went over and see the loom of Siberia, not very far across. I do not remember the particular native who made this statement. When they told me the name, was, I know that he's an expert in doing this kind of work. So I'm very thankful for those two reasons. It comes from my old stamping ground with the 2nd Division, and then comes from one of my native friends in the area. So again, to the Hebrew, I want to express my very heartfelt thanks for this particular battle. Now the first order of business will be the roll call of grand officers.
Grand President Lester O. Gore.
Present.
Grand First Vice President Carl Oxwell.
Here.
Grand Second Vice President James M. Jorgensen.
Here.
Grand Chaplain Ed Sweeney.
Here.
Grand Treasurer Walter D. Heisel.
He's absent.
Grand Secretary Theo McKenna.
Present.
Grand Recorder Linda Schaefer.
Present.
Grand Historian Dr. Will H. Chase.
He's absent.
Grand Sergeant McMahon, Grand Historian George Parks. Grand Sergeant McArnold, Captain Joseph Bernard. Grand Trustees 1 year, Isaac Woodman.
Absent.
1 year, Saul Leary.
Here.
2 years, Robert Korn.
Here.
2 years, Axel Edmund. Absent. 3 years, Howard Staber.
Absent.
3 years, Matt McGilbert.
Here.
The Grand Officer's Order is McCall.
Past
Grand President, Robert DeArmond.
Here.
And Otto Koppel.
Here.
The next order of business is the reading of the minutes of the last session. No. But I'm going to wait.
On the fact that all the igloos have these records and minutes of last meeting, probably the rest, I move that we dispense the reading of the meeting so to hurry the convention along.
Do I hear a second motion?
Second motion.
I think we've got everything going on. Another comment. It is moved and seconded that we dispense with the reading of the minutes of the last session. Are you ready for the question? All in favor, raise your right hand. Contrary, the ayes have it, motion carried, and so on. We'll have the reading of correspondence. Sorry.
I object to the use of that word contrary. No contrary.
That might be so, Charlie, but it wasn't so when you were younger. The next order of business is the meeting of correspondence.
This is dated December the 15th, 1959. Thank you for your kind words on Dad. He is now a member of the Celestial Grand Lodge, and I know in good standing. Acknowledging with sincere thanks your kind and thoughtful expression of sympathy for our Dad, Emily and Alan, Tony Collette. Fred Ancelotti, January 20th, 1960. Grand Review Pioneers of Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska. Dear Grand Officers, we wish to express our thanks to the Grand Officers of the Grand Review Pioneers of Alaska for the thoughtfulness shown to the relatives of late Grand President Arthur Lutro. Our special thanks to the Grand Officers, Lester O. Yaw and James M. Jorgensen, for the splendid manner in which the funeral was conducted. We would like to extend our sympathy to the officers and members of the Grand Igloo, Pioneers of Alaska, for the loss of their president and leader. We have felt the loss of a member of our family very deeply, but do feel that our sorrow is shared by many. Sincerely yours, William and Margaret Young, Dennis and Adriana Coyle, and Stanley and Denise Albert. Your kindness and sympathy at this time are deeply appreciated. Send any more word of thanks than ever expressed, the Coyles, the Youngs, and the Auburns. Then we have a letter here, dated January 12, 1960, from Calistoga, California, from an old pioneer. Dear Mrs. McCarroll, sister greetings, a pioneer, greetings from California, thanking you for the copy of the proceedings of the Grand Convention of Alaska Pioneers held in Nome, October 1959. From all reports personally received by me, it was a grand convention, my regret being physically unable to be present, as I know from the attendance of the delegates, many being old friends now living throughout the North Star State. To indicate my personal interest, I found some stationery used by me in writing to members of Congress, the President, members of the Cabinet, federal officers having highways as their main reason for holding office. This in 1953, when President Eisenhower first took office. Incidentally, Committeeman McCann was in Washington for a short time, during the time of 1953 and 54, when I was in Washington, seeking to tell a story about the need of Fairbanks, Two Rails Highway, and Nome and Teller. Thus, my interest in knowing how this last 1959 Pioneer Convention handled this highway project. Was somewhat disappointed. Earlier, I had often urged Charlie Jones, then Secretary for Igloo One, to introduce as Igloo One's resolution for full consideration for the grand membership. He did make some kind of a motion, supported by Axel Edmonds, Axel making money from the road building contracts. The notion of resolution approved by the committee, but the matter all of body was tailored, as no mention was recorded to whom this resolution was to be presented. In fact, had it been a forceful resolution, copies should have been prepared to all three of the Alaskan members of Congress to the State Department having charge of highway and road trail building. That's why I was disappointed. You will recall the copies of a similar resolution written by me while in a hospital bed was passed and approved by the Grand Convention, held in Ketchikan in 1956. Copies of same sent to President Eisenhower. This gave an opportunity to quote same to various officials in the territory and in the U.S. Senate and House of Congress. At that time, too, my writing was all by tail. I seldom overlook mention of what I deem the needs of Alaska, but often I write to the President, as I know personally, that he is interested in the affairs of Alaska. His first interest born at Tabcourt, Gettysburg, 1918. Reborn when again we met in Nome in 1947. During that first trip to Alaska, he announced himself in favor of statehood. It was by his forceful mention of statehood for Alaska on two different occasions to Congress. And finally, by his official signature, Alaska was admitted into the Union. For your personal information, when Benny Benson, native born in the Aleutian Indian village of Chinook, when he submitted his design for the accepted flag for the territory of Alaska, among other items, one was relative to the North Star, which, as he wrote, represented or signified the future state of Alaska. That's my reason for always, for years, calling Alaska the North Star State. Some time ago, in a letter from Denny, he wrote that as often I travel out of our league, and often to an Alaska, that I must have known his father, Ben Benson, for he was the mate on the old mail schooner, Dora. Should you be further interested in having the next Grand Convention take up this matter of calling Alaska the North Star State, will gladly rewrite information as to why. Yours truly, he didn't sign the name. George R. Goshaw. This is dated Juneau, Alaska, September 29, 1960. Mr. Lester G. Gore, First Vice President, Pioneers of Alaska, Ketchikan, Alaska. Dear Lester, I regretted to learn from copies of correspondence you sent me that you have been ill and will not be able to accept the full year as president, to which in office you are well entitled. Due to prior commitments and the fact that I am retiring shortly from my position of Collector of Customs for Alaska, due to mandatory age requirements, I will be 70 on November the 26th. I will find it impossible to attend the Seward Convention and will send in my resignation as treasurer in order that they may select someone else. I expect to leave for the outside December 1st, at least for the winter. If the Nome Convention, at the Nome Convention, Neil McKenna introduced resolution providing for payment of at least the Grand President's travel expenses, but it did not pass, although absolutely no reason was given why the Grand President or any other Grand Officer should have to pay his expenses. If our organization was broke, that would be another matter. We have about $10,000 in both checking and savings account and a bond. Other similar organizations pay their Grand Officers, and I believe as a matter of principle, the Grand Igloo should resolve to this effect. In my case, it is a matter of principle. However, for the past several years, I have performed the work of Grand Treasurer without any compensation or expectation of say. It would seem that this position would justify the payment of at least traveling expenses annually to the convention. The Office of the Grand Secretary and Grand Recorder have their expenses paid. My very best wishes to you, and I read sincerely and eternally, Grand Treasurer Walter D. Harrison. That is all the correspondence.
That is all your correspondence.
President.
The letter from George Goshaw.
Receive that comment from the police.
Charlie George in his letter refers to his idea of having the state of Alaska called the North Star State, and he speaks of a resolution. Did Nome ever present such a resolution?
I don't remember the
Well, I tell you, what I'm going to do, Charlie, I'm going to turn this letter over to the Nome delegation, which is you, and that will get the resolutions committee and the Grand President and the various Grand Officers off the hook, and you can take care of George.
George.
So go into the chair that turns over to Charlie Jones, you can do what you wish. The only way I got through out of it is that I paid you. Now, otherwise, there's nothing that, none of that correspondence that need action upon, except Walter Heisler's resignation as Grand President. So, when the nominating committee is working, will you please bear that in mind, that Walter is not a candidate for re-election, and you'll have to find someone to take over that job. There isn't too much work attached to it, but there is some. And it does have, as you said, around $10,000 of assets that the Grand Treasurer is going to have to handle. So please bear that in mind when you're thinking about the nominations for Grand Treasurer. The funds seem to be invested in Juno, particularly in savings accounts and one bond, which the trustees are going to have to consider. So it might be well that you find someone from Juno to take over the Grand Treasurer's job. Of course, that's up to the delegates and up to the nominating committee. But I'm always full of suggestions. No other correspondence. Well, now, I want to advise the delegates that if they have any resolutions to present, that they should present them to the Resolutions Committee as early as possible. You know, under our laws, any resolution affecting policy must be presented 24 hours before it can be acted upon. And if you wait until the last few hours, the chair has to move out of order. And I don't like to rule things out of order. I prefer to keep things going, but in that instance, I would have to. Now, in connection with that, I have been bothered about the failure of the Constitution to provide for the transfer of property of the igloos who are no longer in existence. I have worked on it, and I have prepared a proposed amendment to the Constitution, and I wish to present it to the Resolutions Committee as a proposal of the Grand President. I have copies of it, but so that you all know what I'm talking about, I will read it so you can make up your minds whether or not you wish to present to the Resolutions Committee changes in what I propose. The title would be Conveyances of Real and Personal Property of Igloos and Auxiliaries Shall Be Taken in the Names of Their Respective Trustees and Their Successors in Office, Who Shall Hold the Same in Trust for the Lawful Purposes of the Igloo and the Auxiliaries. All of the property and assets of any igloo and auxiliary whose charter has been surrendered or canceled, suspended or revoked, shall automatically and without the necessity of written conveyance or bill of sale become the property of the Grand Igloo Pioneers of Alaska, and title thereto shall vest in the Grand Trustees and their successors in office, in trust for the uses and purposes which the Grand Igloo shall, from time to time, determine by appropriate resolution, duly adopted at the convention of the Grand Igloo, provided, however, that the Grand Trustees shall first apply such property and assets to all the obligations and debts of the igloo or auxiliary whose charter is being returned, canceled, suspended, or revoked, the per capita tax or other obligations due to the Grand Igloo, and providing further that at the time of voluntary surrendering or cancellation of the charter, the trustees of any igloo or auxiliary through its last trustees may cause its property and assets to be conveyed and transferred by written instrument to any other igloo or auxiliary, and in such event the trustees of the grantee or grantee shall immediately notify the grand igloo that title to the conveyed or transferred property has been accepted, and provide further that any conveyance or transfer of the property and assets heretofore made by any such agent or auxiliary to any other agent or auxiliary is confirmed and approved.
Now the necessity for that is quite apparent when you go over the records of the agents, like Nanana. In Nanana, they wish to surrender the charter, and there are five members remain. They wish to join with Fairbanks, and they have money in their treasury.
Tananaw.
I'm correct, it's Tananaw. Not there. And I ruled all that to the best of my ability and using more prerogatives,
and declared that the last five members of that issue were ipso facto trustees, and being the trustees that they could convey their remaining property, which they did to Fairbanks, and Fairbanks accepted them as like members. There was also money in the bank of Fairbanks. The bank will not turn it over because there is nobody in authority to take the money. Who can give them a receipt? Nothing in the Constitution that says that the grand trustees are entitled to it. So that's the purpose of this. And then, again, there's some real estate around the state, belonging to St. Igloos, just sitting there. We have many authorities winning them with. One of the buildings became old, liable to fall down, and between Phil and myself, we instructed up to tear the building down so it would not fall upon anybody. And somebody got stuck for an act of damage because there could be a liability there. So we did. We did it anyway, whether they had authority or not. That's why I'm asking that anything we've done previously be approved. I also, last year, as reported to the Dome Convention, sold a piece of property that the old Hydra had. That building was ready to fall down. Some of the people had shored it up a little bit because it was dangerous. And no one wanted to buy it, because we couldn't get any deed, but finally the group did offer some money for it. And I explained the title to them and told them that all they could get was a quick claim deed as long as they were willing to take it. Why, we were willing to take the money, and that's where you got rid of it. But actually, I need confirmation of it just the same. I'm talking, you see, partly as a grand president, partly as a lawyer. I don't really want to protect myself. Now, do you have a report of the Prudential Committee? If you have, I'd like to have the report.
I have that letter up at the hotel with the report. I didn't bring it this morning, or this noon.